The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
And now it's time for Radio Job Line with your host, Scott Possessor, right here on 103.9 LI News Radio.
Thank you, Michael. Welcome, everybody. It must be Saturday afternoon from 2 to 3 p.m. We're here for you every week to talk about your job, your career, to help you get a job, help you keep your job, help you excel at your job, and in general, to be successful in the Long Island workplace. We talk about workplace issues. If you're interested in anything from harassment to what's going on with the active shooters in the workplace, I mean, there's so many crazy things. We have the police come up here and give advice on how to handle just about every situation, how to deal with getting a raise, how to deal with being abused in the workplace. There's so many things we talk about. But today we actually have a very interesting, different type of show. We have a CEO joining us today from a wonderful Long Island company, an original Long Island company. And before I explain who the company is and how we know them, I'm going to tell a very fast story. When I was hosting my television show, Jobline, way back on 1989, 90, 91, it was somewhere around that time that a gentleman by the name of Stuart Herskovitz came on my show from a company called Cosina Corporation. And at the time, Cosina was very small. He was just starting out. Wonderful guy. I really wished him great luck. I said, I hope it all works out for you. I didn't see him after that for a couple of decades. I ran into him once or twice and been watching the company, you know, out of the corner of my eye. And today I'm pleased to have with me Scott Herskovitz. Scott is now the president and CEO of Cosina. Scott previously worked in business development, served as vice president of marketing, and later vice president of sales and marketing at Cosina. Also joining us today is Amanda Bancroft, the director of human resources for Cosina and the other company, Cosmetics, we're going to be talking about. Located in Ronkonkoma, Cosina is a leading supplier of components to companies that make products for the medical and pharmaceutical industries. Cosina has been in business for 40 years. The company's philosophy is to address its customers' need to reduce time to market by providing thousands of parts off the shelf. Cosina sells products from both its e-commerce website at cosina.com and its highly popular print catalog, which is published annually and features more than 5,000 products. Cosmetics, Cosina's cosmetics division, is a certified global supplier of beauty tools and accessories to the cosmetic, skincare, spa, and salon industries. The cosmetics division provides hygienic beauty supplies and other tools and accessories, including makeup brushes, mirrors, and packaging components. Cosmetics services every segment of the beauty industry, from makeup artists to indie beauty brands to global cosmetic companies like Estee Lauder and L'Oreal. So welcome to Radio Jobline, Scott Herskovitz.
Thank you, Scott. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great to have you here, Scott. And it's been wonderful to observe the company all these years and watch it go from not very much when I first met Stuart to what it is now, a pretty big giant. So tell us everything about the rise of the company.
Well, my father had an idea in the 1970s that was brewing in his head. He was working at a company called EZM, which was here in Westbury.
Right.
It's no longer here on Long Island.
I'm familiar with them. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And EZM was making contrast media and selling this to doctors and hospitals through a delivery device called a disposable barium enema. Mm-hmm. And in part of their production, they needed different bits and pieces to put this thing together. Mm-hmm. In order to create that, the components, you needed an injection mold, which was a very expensive piece of tooling. Mm-hmm. Put hot plastic into that injection mold, press the two pieces together, you'd get this plastic piece. Mm-hmm. But then that tool might sit on the shelf for a long time if you made all the parts you needed for your current production run. So
right.
He thought, gee, maybe there would be a need in the marketplace for a catalog of components. Mm-hmm. And he spoke to his superiors at the time and said, I have this idea. And they said, that's not interesting for us.
Right.
And he said, so he got lucky. The company went public and he had some shares and he was able to use the proceeds to start his own thing. And he, over the next four decades and still going,
right,
running around the world, different trade shows, different companies, speaking about his idea for this catalog, putting the components in the catalog and creating a one-stop shop for medical device components, for medical device manufacturing, with all of the documentation and backup data that you need for your medical device filings with the FDA.
Right. So Sartorius, for example, one of my clients, is that one of your clients?
We definitely work with Sartorius. It's a great company.
Yeah.
And they play, of course, more in the biopharm space than the medical device space.
Right.
But they're a local Long Island company.
Don't tell them that. They've got me looking for engineers all day long, you know, to develop biotech products. You know, so very interesting company, and plenty of a few pharma companies on Long Island, too. And some great medical device companies like Misonics.
Yes,
comes
absolutely.
To mind.
Yes,
so I assume you work
companies.
With all of those.
We try to, yes,
right.
For sure.
Okay. So I'll get you. I know the COO at Misonics. I'll get you an introduction if
Thank
you need
you.
It.
Thank you
She's
very much.
Great. I placed her there. She's awesome. So all right. So we've got a great company that's serving the healthcare sector of the economy. With give us examples, some of the products.
Lure connectors, clamps, tubing, forceps, syringes, all the bits and pieces that our customers need to iterate or innovate the next medical device with off-the-shelf components, so they don't have to make the investment in that tooling.
Mm-hmm.
There's all bulk non-sterile, and nothing is ready for human use. So we're further up the food chain.
Mm-hmm.
Our customers will take our products, assemble them, or put them in a kit, sterilize that product, register with the FDA in a, now it's a suitable format for actually giving to a doctor for use on a patient.
Got it. Now, we have a company on Long Island, too, called Henry Schein.
Yes.
Only a $14 billion, 16, you can't count the billions that they're doing. You're sort of in the same line, but not quite.
Not quite. They have a heavy focus on dental.
Right. And veterinary.
And veterinary.
Right.
They also deal a little bit in medical, but really more on the finished device side.
Mm-hmm.
And they're about 85 billion times the size of us.
Right. Yeah, they're 85 billion times the size of everyone. So,
yeah.
I had them as a client for a long time, so I don't work with them anymore, but they're a great company. And so let's talk about you. I'm more interested in you now. So you don't get to be a CEO by accident. You know, I mean, maybe you do, but I haven't seen any. It takes hard work. It takes a lot of stick-to-itiveness and persistence. It takes an iron stomach, someone that can live with aggravation. There are a lot of qualities of a CEO. You read a lot of books about the 7 successful habits of successful people, and I'm sure you've got all of those, Scott. But tell us about your adventure, you know, from when you started to being the CEO of the company.
So I still don't see myself as a CEO. I still see myself as trying to be a CEO, even though I'm 2 years into this now. I'm much more comfortable than I was 2 years ago.
Right.
But I was very lucky to have parents that started a business.
Mm-hmm.
That was not a prerequisite for getting this job.
Mm-hmm.
But it did help put me in the sights of the owner of a company.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, I had to prove myself time and again to get to this point.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that I did was get experience elsewhere. It was very important that I go off into the world and have experience at different places. You know, the grass is always greener, right? You have to have some experience with different bosses, different organizations, to sort of understand how the world works in different ways, what you like about it and what you don't. And if you were going to be a leader or a director, how would you want to mold your environment?
So this sounds like a strategy from the beginning, you know, almost like you were being groomed for the role. Is that safe?
It was a combination of that and my own interest.
Mm-hmm.
If I wasn't interested, then it would never have come to pass. But I certainly spent a good 10 years executing on that plan. I had an idea that I would like to take on this role.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started to do several things to get there. The first was going and getting an MBA degree, which gave me a foundation for how to think based on theory. How do you break down a problem, address it? How do you look at strategy? What was interesting about the MBA program, which I didn't realize until I get there, was that there's not a lot of practical knowledge that you get. You know, you're not going to learn how to make lists of to-do lists, but from a very high level, it was great not only to think about strategy, but also to work with really interesting and smart people who would work on a problem with you. So that was the first thing. And while I was at the MBA program, I realized I had a deficiency. I was very afraid of getting up and speaking in front of people.
No kidding.
So one of the first things that I did was, and this is, I think, for good advice for anyone, put yourself out there. What are you lacking and how can you improve yourself? And so I took every opportunity to get up in front of people whenever there was a speaking opportunity to give a speech or give a presentation, and where other people were just sort of hanging back. And, and that's how I would have been in, you know, early in my 20s. I don't want to be in front of people. And at first, it was very difficult, and I was very bad. But over time, I learned my style. And the culmination of that, now having done it many, many times, was we had a holiday party recently, and I was able to get up in front of 110 people and host a party and make everyone laugh and have a very good time. And it was so rewarding, not just to think that I'm performing the role, but also that this was something that I worked on for a long time, and then I was able to do it.
You know, it's so funny that you should pick up public speaking, because we have some experts come on the show and tell us just how frightening it can be to many, many, many people. I mean, there's that old, the only thing you fear worse than public speaking is death. I mean, I've heard that, you know, that they're right up there together, to a race to the end. And we've had some of the sales consultants of Long Island, the Sandler Sales Institute, Dale Carnegie. We've had representatives from both of those organizations on the show. And they're always telling us public speaking is a great skill to have, but it's not a hard one to learn. You just have to basically do it. I remember my own battle, Scott. I didn't know what I was doing. I had no experience with public speaking. I knew I was going to be okay at it, because in college, we all had to give a presentation, like a verbal presentation in front of the class. And I remember not being nervous. And I remember everyone else being nervous. So I figured, well, I have some kind of advantage going on. And then as I got into television and radio, for some reason, I wasn't nervous. So and then I was even more empowered to give a speech, because I feel like talking to 50,000 people at a time on television, I could certainly talk to 500 people at a conference or 100 people at a meeting. So for me, it wasn't bad, but I know it can be critical and devastating and life-changing. What about you, Jeff? Any thoughts?
The same thing. It is rather hard to speak in front of people.
With us is Jeff Kerwood, by the way. Jeff is an intern for the moment. He's taking some Instagram videos for us today. Always check out our Instagram videos on radio. Just search for Radio Jobline. I asked Jeff to take some videos today and find out maybe he wants to have a permanent role here with the radio show.
I hope so, Scott.
All right. So we'll talk more about that. But public speaking, bad for you? Tough for you?
Sometimes yes and sometimes no.
Amanda, we have you in the studio too. Just out of curiosity, did you take to it immediately? Did you have fun, difficulty with it? What was your take on public speaking?
Well, to be quite candid, I took to it immediately because I used my, I guess, fears against itself. And I would always take a stand to make sure I was behind a podium, because the audience can't see me, but I'm not much in the height department. So I would use that advantageous to make the room laugh, and then I didn't feel so nervous about it. But I do want to jump on what Scott was saying. That MC'd event for our holiday party, our employees are still talking about it.
Really?
So, I mean, that's he's being very humble in saying that, but it was, they're still raving and they can't wait for the next one.
Yeah. That's where a lot of CEOs make their mark, you know, is in front of at that holiday party where they make everything right for everybody. And that sounds like what you did.
Well, one of the things I just try to remind myself as I'm standing in front of people is, no matter how bad I am, they're really glad it's not them. So
All true. So, all right, great stuff. So we overcame the fear of public speaking.
Yes.
And we're working our way now up the ladder.
Up the ladder. And that's, you know, everybody's given a job to do in a company. But one of the things that you should remember is if you're going to grow, you have to learn about the business, right? What are the products? Who are the people? Who's the industry? And a lot of people are content just to do what they're doing. Mm-hmm. But if you really want to make a mark, you have to get out there. You have to network. You have to add LinkedIn contacts. Mm-hmm. You have to read the industry news. And by demonstrating that expansive knowledge, you're adding more value to the organization as a whole.
Okay. So you've taken over now pretty much everything. You're the CEO, so you're doing everything. You're doing hiring.
No, hiring, yes, of course. So just wanted to, on that point, we have two divisions, mm-hmm. right? One is Cosina, the medical components. The other is cosmetics, which mm-hmm. you'll talk about in a bit.
Right. We never asked you about Cosina. What does it stand for?
Okay. So when my dad was first starting out, he was going through the trade shows. There was only like two trade shows at the time for the medical industry. Mm-hmm. And looking down the list of companies, and he noticed that there was nobody in the Q section. So he said, what name can I make that will show up in the Q section all by itself? Right. And he came up with this idea of Cosina, right. And spelled it Q-O-S-I-N-A right. without a U,
right.
so that people would remember, it's sort of odd that there's a Q and no U next to it. Mm-hmm. So it was sort of adding to the way people remember things.
I think this was brilliant because it stuck with me.
And,
it
doesn't sound like it's from anywhere. And we often get asked, are you an Italian company?
Yeah.
Right. But no, that's wonderful that he picked such a unique name, and apparently it's worked for you. And it's stuck in my mind. You know, so if I remembered it, then other people remember it. So it's definitely,
it's
definitely
unique,
a good thing.
Yeah.
And then take me up to the formation of cosmetics now.
So cosmetics, my dad was walking through a department store in the 1980s, and this was the height of the AIDS epidemic. Mm. He had spent his career thus far preventing cross-contamination in a hospital mm-hmm. setting. And so he's walking through the department store. He sees someone trying a lipstick. As a tester, put it down. Another person walks by, picks up the same lipstick, puts it on, and thinks, "Oh, that's terrible. Yeah, we need to. Maybe there's an opportunity here." Mm-hmm. And actually, the connection wasn't made until he got back to his office, and on his desk was a package from a friend of his who had these tightly wound swabs. If you can imagine a Q-tip, mm-hmm. It's very hairy on top, very loose. Mm-hmm. It's not very good for fine, detailed work. Mm-hmm. This new type of swab was very tightly wound and pointy on the end. Mm-hmm. And the friend was saying, "Stuart, I know you deal with all of these injection molders. Maybe they need something with a fine tip to clean their tooling." Mm-hmm. And he had that aha moment that somebody could take the applicator with the tightly wound pointy end mm-hmm. and put it on the lipstick. Do some detailed work for testing mm-hmm. At the cosmetic counter. And so he wrote to Leonard Lauder. Mm-hmm. He didn't know Leonard Lauder, but he mm-hmm. knew that Estee Lauder was a Long Island mm-hmm. company. And got a call about a week later. It said, "Stuart, please, this is the director of purchasing. We'd mm-hmm. like you to come in and we like your idea." So he goes in to the meeting and they say, "We like your idea. We'd like to try 1,000 pieces." Now, my dad was thinking in his head, "Oh, that's $35 worth of product. Mm-hmm. I'll give you some 1,000 pieces as a sample." Mm-hmm. And they said, no, you don't understand. Mm-hmm. We like your idea so much, we want to try at every counter. We have 7,000 counters across the United States, 1,000 pieces for each counter. Your initial order is for 7 million pieces." Ooh. And cosmetics was born.
Born, yes. May I ask what a piece goes for?
Oh, they're less than a penny.
All right, so 7 million pennies is still something.
It's still something,
right?
And you would think that since they're being used mm-hmm. once, that there's an opportunity for
much more. That's really awesome.
Yeah, and so cosmetics, of course, Q-O-S-M-E-D-I-X, the original formation of the company was based on the medical background. And the cosmetic industry, mm-hmm. playing on the word, the QOS of Cosina, so cosmetics.
And when you drive up, you see the sign for both.
Yes.
So, because I've been there. So you see the Cosina sign, and right above it is the cosmetic sign.
Yes.
Right. Great job. Great marketing.
Thank you.
Great. And you also have a background in sales and marketing.
I do. I do. Yes.
Which can't hurt if you're going to go in and try to be the CEO of a company, so that you can steer the ship, you know, from the sales and marketing perspective.
That's right. And so for my title, president and CEO, I'm CEO of the whole organization, making sure that it's running and profitable. Mm-hmm. I'm president of the medical division, and we have a guy that's just joined us recently, Paul Morris, with a background in cosmetic packaging. Mm-hmm. He's now the president of the cosmetics division.
Fantastic. All right, you're listening to Radio Jobline with Scott Possessor. We're here for you every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 3. Today we have Scott Herskovitz with us, the CEO of Cosina Corporation, Q-O-S-I-N-A, and Cosmetics, Q-O-S-M-E-D-I-X. If you have any thoughts or questions, you can check out their website, the Cosina website, and I'm sure you'll be able to communicate directly with the company. We have some jobs at Cosina coming up after the break. We're up against the news break right now. If you have an idea about Radio Jobline you'd like to have on the air, write to me, scottp118@gmail.com. Stay with us, everybody.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
And now, welcome back to Radio Jobline with your host, Scott Possessor, right here on LI News Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the first half of the show. We've been talking to Scott Herskovitz from Cosina Corporation, Cosmetics Corporation. We just heard the story of how the company got started, about Stuart Herskovitz, Scott's father, who got the company started, and how Scott kind of worked his way into this role and sort of came up the ladder to take on all the responsibilities of this company, overcame his fear of public speaking. It's great, great stuff so far. I want to shift over to Amanda Bancroft. Amanda, you're the director of human resources for Cosina and Cosmetics. So what I'd love for you to do is spend a little time, tell the listeners about the culture of the company, and work your way over to the jobs.
Absolutely. I'd like to start off saying, why are we the best kept little secret on Long Island? Because I used to pass by Cosina a good 10 times a day working for my last organization. And I was really curious, well, number one, what did that mean, Q-O-S-I-N-A? And I Googled it many times to find out about the organization. Mm-hmm. So when I joined last year, it was welcomingly refreshing. Highly engaging culture. People are excited to work there. Mm-hmm. It's engaging, it's high energy, but it's casual. There's not a high volume of stress in terms of the office environment. We have monthly engagement events. We have company-sponsored annual holiday parties, self-service features, unlimited company-paid-for professional development opportunities. If an employee wants to start off in the warehouse and come over to customer service or inside sales, typically we know that upon hire, because not only the leadership team engages them, but Scott tends to, I'd say he's a very humble and servant leadership approach. Mm-hmm. He wants to know every employee that comes in the door. He wants to know what they're interested in. If they want to work in the warehouse permanently, great. How can we make you the best warehouse associate possible? What development can we give you? Mm-hmm. If they want to learn customer service and sales, and we have so many success stories of people that have worked for the organization for 15 and 20 years, one of which who's now the art director, another one who's a product manager. They walked in the door as entry level, admin assistants, customer service. You walk into their department, they're smiling, they're happy, they're engaging. They're appreciative and grateful for all the opportunities that have been granted. So in a nutshell, that really describes the type of environment you walk into in Cosina.
Sounds like a wonderful culture.
It really is. I mean, besides obviously all the benefits they offer, which still blows my mind, mm-hmm. Because we just went through open enrollment, mm-hmm. medical, dental, vision, obviously most companies offer that, but not most companies tell you if you enroll in medical and take care of yourself, we're going to give you your dental and vision for free. Mm. I mean, that's huge, especially on Long Island where organizations are only paying 70%. We're well beyond that. We have a very rich plan. Mm. The core executive team, Scott, his founders as well, have put it as a priority. The employee benefits and wellness, their retirement planning has got to maintain the levels that it's been in the fore. Mm-hmm. Paid short-term and long-term disability, obviously, group life insurance, 401k match, profit sharing. We have 4 flexible spending account options, generous paid time off benefits, 11 paid holidays, tuition reimbursement. I can go on and on and on, but it's the package that employees get when working for Cosina and Cosmetics. It's incredible. The office amenities are incredible. Even something as simple as the employees asked for in 2019 employee survey, they wanted free soda in the machine. So Scott answered and provides them with free soda, and there's other drinks in there as well. And just yesterday, we celebrated our 2019 record year with a Caribbean-style catered luncheon.
Wow.
That was a big deal. Everybody really enjoyed it. You know, in the past, we'd, you know, for small wins, you know, maybe we'd do a pizza party, or if there was a big win, we'd have a heroes lunch, you know, playing on the word heroes.
Right.
But we were so pleased that we met our goal for 2019 that Amanda had the idea to have a Caribbean theme party, and we had it.
Did everybody dress up in Caribbean outfits?
No, but they did a great job of decorating the cafeteria area with a Caribbean theme, and the food was tremendous.
And you had that steel drum music going on? Okay, because I love that Caribbean music.
It was awesome. Everyone received it well, and it was fun because the senior leadership team, they were there in the employee lounge eating with them, and that's really, employees feel valued. So, I mean, if you can get anything from the employees at Cosina and Cosmetics, interview them. You're not going to hear a sad story. You're going to hear a success story from so many of them.
And I think work-life balance is also something that's important to us. You know, you're never going to be your best and be sustainable in the long term if, you know, you're working 24 hours
so
a day.
So I had a poor man go on an interview today, and the company said to him 3 times, not once, not twice, 3 times, can you work overtime? So he answered. He said, yes. And then they asked him again, are you sure you can work overtime? So I'm like, what are you signing up for? You know, when companies are pestering you about how much overtime you can work in the first interview, that is an issue for me.
Well, and you know, most of the time it's because organizations are not staffed right.
Yeah.
It's not because they're not able to meet productivity demands. They're not at capacity.
Mm-hmm.
We're staffed well.
Right.
We utilize and leverage temporary staffing when it's needed. So our warehouse associates aren't feeling, oh, we have a large order coming in. Now we're working back-to-back weekends. No, we leverage our resources. We don't want to overburden one for the other. And you know what? We've rolled out a WMS system for those out there in the warehouse environment when we're days ahead of where other organizations are.
Warehouse management system.
Yeah, warehouse is not so easy. One of my big clients, Harris Corporation, is always looking for warehouse associates. They're always changing product lines. They're very hard to find. They're not just sitting there waiting for someone to call them up and give them a job. They're doing something else. And sometimes you got to, you know, convert them. So I know what you're up against there, but it's great to see that you have a good program that works. Now, listen, tell everybody about some jobs, because after all the great things you just said, Amanda, you're going to get some very interested job hunters here.
Well, just a reminder, www.cosina.com. Scroll down, click on careers, or you can email jobs@cosina, cosina.com. No you. Don't put it in there.
Okay.
You're not going to find us.
Okay.
We've got jobs in marketing. We've got marketing administrative assistants, marketing assistants. We've got web designers. We've got a bunch of sales positions. And we're really looking for people that have a great diverse background, but the specialty in medical distribution is key. We want to see those networks come with employees because that's what's going to help you be successful.
Mm-hmm.
We have national account managers, 2 openings, 1 for medical, 1 for cosmetics.
Mm-hmm.
We have customer service specialists. We have a full training program. So if you come in with drive and energy and you just really want to do well, we'll train you. The key here is that fit for wanting to drive the business forward. We also have an opening for a freelance copywriter for someone who's just looking to produce some good, solid, strong work. Marketing is extremely important for our organization.
Mm-hmm.
We have a warehouse associate position available, and from that, you can grow to anything else. We call it jumping the carpet. Mm-hmm. You can come into customer service. But and I'm going to put in my own plug here because I currently have a receptionist position available who reports into HR and some administrative support role as well. We'd love to see those resumes come in. Again, experience is great. We need more for the sales side, that experience in the packaging and the distribution.
Mm-hmm.
But for the other roles, we can be flexible. And in the future, we're actually going to be opening up some inside sales reps positions for both divisions. And in March and April, we will be hosting intern job fairs. So interns, if you're interested, we've done them before. We've successfully converted a few. We've got one returning in the summer. Once he graduates, two more credits. So we're rooting for him. But that's one of the parts of COSINA that is, again, hidden. They value the education. So if you're going to school and you want to work and grow, come join us.
That's fantastic. Great stuff. Great job, Amanda, considering that you had a little lung issue there. That was terrific.
A little nasally.
No, I thought it was great. So Scott, okay, so now you've got this burgeoning company that's doing well, making money. It's profitable. You have profit sharing, so it must be profitable. You've overcome all the issues. You've taken the helm. How does it look now headed into the future?
So we have a very bright outlook ahead of us. We are a global company in that we now have as of 2019, we have a COSINA Europe. There's two people now based out of Italy helping us to service our customer base in Europe. The past couple of days, we've been hosting our partner in Japan. We have a robust business over in Japan. We are providing a service that is unique and hard to find. There's a lot of people who are manufacturers. We are offering off-the-shelf solutions and fantastic customer service and a broad product range, one-stop shop that is quite unique. So we've been very lucky. We have some ancillary industries. You know, you talked about Sartorius. We've played a part in the growth of the single-use systems for the biopharm industry, and we have some pretty exciting projects ongoing that will help us to leverage our medical device experience to further help biopharm and single-use system manufacturers.
So do you have engineers on staff?
We do have engineers on staff, yes, who are helping our customers design things as they need to be designed, or even just be advisors to the engineers at our customers who are developing their next project.
Yeah, I was looking for a single-use engineer, a mechanical engineer for a while, and just displaced it. But you probably got them all. That's why I don't have any of them.
Yeah,
so.
We took them.
Okay. All right. So you're exhibiting at 20 trade shows.
Right? 25.
25. Oh, so yeah. That gets the word out there.
Yeah.
That's a big part of the business, I guess.
It's a huge part of the business. You know, we see ourselves as a marketing organization as well as, you know, in the supply chain business. So we invest heavily in that. Being out there, being in Minnesota, in California, in Germany, in Japan, in all these different places at trade shows allows us to have a presence. Even if it's just once a year, where we can meet our customers in a single location, have a face-to-face conversation with them. And that's very important, is creating a relationship with your customers, with your vendors. You got to get FaceTime. And I don't mean the phone kind. You know, I mean, just like we're sitting across right now, the conversations that you have when you're sitting in front of someone and talking to them is much different than a phone conversation or an email conversation.
Right. I couldn't agree more. I wish more people used the telephone well and met more in person, you know, and stopped using so much email. It's crazy with the email, but it can be useful because it makes it a public record. So if you send an email, then it's there forever. And the point you were trying to make is there forever. So I do like email, but it can't replace the phone no matter what you do. And it can't replace in person. Okay. What about future plans?
Future plans for growth. You know, we want to leverage the success that we've had, the name that we've had, to continue offering value to our customers. And I hope, you know, that everyone on my team agrees with me that, you know, what really drives us is, first and foremost, working with people that we enjoy working with. But probably most importantly is in getting a pride from delivering a solution to a customer, and the profits come later. You know, it's we really have to care about who the customer is and what they need.
So, Scott, if I just kind of try to pin you down, and I said, what are the guiding principles of the company? What would you come back with?
So, guiding principles are very interesting. It's a shared philosophical framework so that we can empower our employees to make decisions. As if me, the CEO, if I would, if they can explain their decision-making process, the decisions that they've made based on this framework, for example, exceed expectations. Mm-hmm. Did you do something that went above and beyond and made the customer feel like you really took care of them, mm-hmm. Or be accountable? Somebody asked you to do something. Did you follow through and make sure it got done,
mm-hmm.
Or do it right? Mm-hmm. Do it right is it sounds simple, but if you make a mistake because you're not paying attention, mm-hmm. and you have to do it over, you should do it right the first time, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's so expensive to have to redo work sometimes. So try and make sure you're doing it right the first time. Being responsive, being responsive is not just getting back to someone, but it's saying, I'm going to get back to you at this time and this date, whether I have new information or not. I can tell you, it's happened to me and to customers, mm-hmm. how frustrating it is when someone says, I'm going to get back to you.
Mm.
Right? And then 3 days later, you're following up saying, oh, did you forget about me?
Right.
Right. So just saying, I'm going to get back to you on such and such date, whether I have new information or not, mm-hmm. it makes the customer feel like they're being, taken by the hand.
Yeah.
And being relevant, the world is changing. How are we as a company, how are we as people going to excel in the tomorrow's world without knowing what's coming?
I've talked to some of the people at Henry Schein about, are they worried about Amazon? And I'm going to go to that next with you. Does a company like Cosino or Cosmetics, can Amazon be a threat?
Amazon is always a threat. They're the 800,000-pound gorilla of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I probably both love mm-hmm. shopping on Amazon. It's very convenient.
Mm-hmm.
But there's places where it fails. And mm-hmm. Firstly, if I know exactly what I want and I can find it on Amazon, oh, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not sure what I want something in a particular style, or it could take forever.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a very curated selection of goods.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a question, good luck trying to find someone to talk to at Amazon, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we provide that.
Mm-hmm.
You call us up. You are not getting a phone system that says press zero, press mm-hmm. one.
Right.
You are getting a person who's saying, "Who can we answer your question? Who do you want to talk to?"
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but in our space, especially on the medical side,
mm-hmm.
There's a whole series of documentation that we have to keep track of, quality systems that we have to follow, that Amazon is just not set up to do. It's not that they can't, it's just not their business model at the moment.
What would you say, we only have a couple of minutes left, Scott, what would you say if I asked you to summarize the qualities that make it possible for you to be a great CEO, to make it possible for someone to be a great CEO? What kind of qualities do you think a person needs?
Well, there's, I think, a lot of different qualities, and it depends on personality. For myself, I don't see my role as a given. I have to work at it
mm-hmm.
every day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only as good as my team, so I have to be a good team builder.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm only as good as their skill set, so I have to find out. My job is to ask, how are you doing? What can I do to make your job better?
Mm-hmm.
What problems are you encountering that I can take away those roadblocks?
Mm.
I had a funny interaction the other day as someone in our warehouse. How can I help you do your job better? And he's fairly new. He looked at me and he said, "Why, what have you heard?" And I said, no, it's my job to tell you that I'm here to help you do better. So please let me know what I can do. What are you experiencing? How can we help?
Right. All part of the culture we talked about, Amanda. And also, speaking of Amanda, one more time. For people that are interested in applying for the many jobs, they can see the jobs on the website. They scroll down off the main page and click careers, right?
Yep.
And the main website is?
www.qosina.com. And we also recommend they go do jobs@cosina.com.
Q-O-S-I-N-A. Mm-hmm. But they can also visit our LinkedIn pages, and they can personally visit my page. Look me up, Amanda Bancroft. You see a job or you want to find out about future opportunities, mm-hmm. send me a note. I'll add you to my network, and we'll stay connected.
Is there an email address where they can reach you?
Yes, A Bancroft, B-A-N-C-R-O, F as in Frank, T as in Tom, at Cosina, Q-O-S-I-N-A. .com.
Okay.
You say it a few times, it rolls off your tongue.
I was just about to say, you think we spelled it enough times today? I think we got it. It's Cosina, Q-O-S-I-N-A, not anything else.
And some suggestions for the job seekers out there, Scott. Mm-hmm. When you show up for an interview, ask good questions.
Be prepared. Find
out what the company is looking for and try to craft your responses based on your own skill set to help them figure out how you're going to help meet their needs.
So how important do you guys see it in the remaining minute? How important do you guys see it that the candidates are prepared, that they know the history and the mission and the products the company sells?
It goes a long way to show that you've done some research to understand a little bit.
And what happens if you have a perfectly good candidate that didn't do the research?
It's a deterrent. I mean, you want to hire people that are as invested in the company as you're going to be in them. So it's almost saddening. It's like, I wish they would have just read the website or
had a good answer for this. Right.
Yeah.
You know, I have one company that doesn't just ask, what do you know about our company? They ask, what do you find most compelling about our company? Better question. Tougher question, because now you have to extrapolate, well, what's the most compelling thing of all the great things I read? And, you know, you're kind of on the spot. I think that's a very good question. Companies need to do it, and candidates need to be ready for it.
And they really, you know, practicing before an interview with a peer, a colleague, a mentor, mm-hmm. it'd be better prepared. So at least, you know what, the organization, the person you're interviewing with will feel it.
Okay. All right. Great job. This is a fantastic job. I can't thank you enough, Scott.
Thank you, Scott.
I know you're a busy man, and you could have spent this evening lots of other ways. And I really appreciate it. And Amanda, coming in moderate health, we appreciate you being here. Jeff, thank you so much for stopping by and being with us today and taking the Instagram videos. Look at our Instagram page, Radio Jobline, and you will see some videos this week put up there by Jeff Kerwitt. And Jeff, I hope you'll be back and joining us again soon.
I hope so too, Scott.
All right. If you have an idea for Radio Jobline, you can write to me, scottp118@gmail.com. That's scottp118@gmail.com. You tell us about what you think of the shows or give us an idea for another show. We're going to be back. I think the Islanders are back next week, but one more time. And then after that, we have another live show, and we have three shows in a row. We'll be back soon. Happy hunting.